there. This is Lon Solomon, and I'd like to welcome you to our program today. You know, it's a tremendous honor that God has given us to be on stations all around the nation, bringing the truth of God's Word as it is, uncompromising and straightforward. And I'm so glad you've tuned in to listen and be part of that. Thanks again for your support and your generosity that keeps us on the radio. And now, let's get to the Word of God.
You know, in spite of all of our modern science and technology, our world still doesn't offer a lot of serenity and a lot of real peace, does it? I mean, there you are, sipping your diet soda with saccharin, sitting in your asbestos-lined building, talking on your cellular phone right next to high-voltage wires, right under the hole in the ozone layer. You've given up high-fat beef that's laced with antibiotics for low-fat fish that's laced with PCBs. Your Chinese food has MSG. Your bacon has nitrites. Your apple juice has Allar. Your milk has growth hormones. Your water has chloroform. You tan for years without sunscreen. And you're a short male with a bald spot, which means you're ripe for a heart attack. Now, that's kind of the way the world goes, huh? Every time I read the paper, it's like, not another one. And the more we learn, it seems like the more reason there is to worry. If I were to ask you what define worry, it'd be interesting probably what definitions we got, wouldn't it? People would say things like, well, I don't know, anxiety, fear of the future, that feeling of uneasiness down in the pit of your stomach that you get sometime, the fretting, the jitters. Lon, I can't define it exactly, but everybody knows what it feels like. And you're right. Most of the world knows exactly what it feels like because our world is full of it. People who are so burdened down with the cares of life that they've lost the joy in living. And this is what we want to talk about this morning. We want to talk about worry because that's what Jesus talks to us about in our passage, worry and how to beat it in our lives. And the message that's here is really a liberating message if we really get a hold of it and make it real for our lives, which is what I want to try to do with you this morning. Let me just say before we begin, there's a difference between worry and legitimate responsibility. Let's make sure we understand that. Legitimate responsibility means I have certain obligations, certain duties that I need to carry out and do to the best of my ability. Worry goes the next step into fretting about what the outcome's going to be. We're not talking about responsibility being bad. We're not trying in any way, nor is Jesus, to convince you just to lay at home and pop chocolates and watch The Price is Right. There are legitimate things to get out there that you and I are responsible for doing. The reason that we're talking about worry is that worry goes the next step. It goes to the step of them fretting about how it's all going to work out. Okay? I like what Stonewall Jackson said. He said, duty is ours, consequences is God's. Duty is ours, consequences are God's. And that's kind of the right balance. So we're not talking about duty now. We're talking about fretting over the consequences. So let's look at it together. Here we are, Luke chapter 12, beginning in verse 22. Then Jesus said to his disciples. Now let's stop right there for a second. Say, well, Lon, we only got into this 6 words. I know, but let's stop for a second. It's important we understand the audience to which Jesus is addressing this, or we're not going to interpret it right. Jesus said to his disciples. If you look down in verse 30, you'll notice that Jesus is talking to people for whom God, it says, is their Father, down in verse 30. Jesus is addressing his comments here to a very restricted audience. And that audience is the audience of people who have embraced Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and their personal Savior. The Bible tells us that to those people, John chapter 1, God gives them the right, the authority to become the children of God. And as I've told you many times, in the Bible teaches that all people are God's creation, but not all people are God's children. God's children are those people who have uniquely put their personal faith and their personal trust in Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Well, Lon, then what you're saying is that Jesus is talking about worry here only to Christians. That's right. You say, well, why? Doesn't he love the rest of the world? Sure, he loves the rest of the world. But the reason that these words are addressed to Christians only is that Christians have a special relationship with God that allows us to manage anxiety in a way the rest of the world can't. And Jesus' words here are going to be talking about that way of managing anxiety that comes from our relationship with him. If you're here and you've never trusted Christ in a real and personal way to be your personal Savior, then may I say to you that the first step to your having real peace in your life, the first step to your beating worry in your life and being able to be calm and serene even in the middle of the worst storm is not therapy, it's not drugs, it's not hypnosis, it's not meditation, but it's a new relationship with Almighty God. And if you're here and you've never embraced Christ as your personal Savior, I want to invite you to enter a whole new dimension of living where anxiety and where stress does not have to control your life. Where does that relationship come from? Where does that new dimension of living come from? It comes from knowing Jesus Christ in a real and personal way. If you've never done that, I hope that as I talk to the rest of the people here who have, that you'll really think about it, because it's one of the great byproducts of knowing Jesus Christ in a real way. Now, for those of us who have trusted Him, what does Christ say about worry? Well, He wants to tell us, verse 22, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life." Do not worry about your life. Jesus said there is a distinctive lifestyle that He wants Christians to lead, a lifestyle that has some very noticeable elements, one of which is peace and serenity and calm and an absence of fretting and worrying in the worst storm. This is a distinctive part of the lifestyle He wants us to live. And then in telling us about how to live that way, Jesus in this passage, in a sense, dissects worry and tells us that worry is based on a wrong view of four things. He wants us to see why worry makes no sense. The whole basis of worry is all wrong. It's based on a wrong view of four things. Now let me show you what they are. Number one, worry is based on a wrong view of God. A wrong view of God. Verse 24. Jesus said, "Consider the birds, the ravens. They don't sow, they don't reap, they don't have storerooms or barns, yet God feeds them." Jesus said, "Look how God runs zoology, friends. Birds just go about doing what God created them to do. The birds don't get all stressed out about life. I mean, when was the last time you ever saw a bird carrying worry beads, huh? Birds don't do that. Birds just do what they're supposed to do, and God meets their every need. True? And God does the same thing in the world of botany. Look how He runs the world of botany. Verse 27. "Consider how the lilies grow. They don't labor. They don't spin. Yet I tell you that even King Solomon in all of his splendor wasn't dressed up like one of them. God orchestrates the rain, the sunshine, the pollination, and the seasons so that the vegetation of the earth has everything that it needs." Now, the point is, if God runs zoology that way, and if God runs botany that way, why would God run His family any differently? And Jesus says He doesn't. Look at verse 28. "If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown in the fire, how much more will He clothe you, His own children, who are worth much more to Him than birds and lilies are worth? How much more will He clothe you?" When we as Christians fret and get all stressed out about whether God's interested and whether God's involved and whether God cares and whether God's going to take care of my every need, we have a wrong view of God. The right view of God is, His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. You know, the first time I ever heard that song was in 1971. I was a brand new Christian. I'd been a Christian maybe 2 months. I was hitchhiking around the country with my dog, and I was here in Alexandria just stopping over, and I met a man, and he wouldn't invite me to his house. I think I looked like too much of a shady character. But he let me spend the night down in his storefront, which was down in Alexandria. And there was a television in there. And it was in the evening, and I was sitting there, and I was feeling real lonely. You know, my family were not doing flips because I had made this decision to become a Christian. And I felt like I had no money, I had no job, I had no family ties, I felt all alone. I had no direction for my life. I was 21 years old. I didn't know where my life was going. I was scared. I felt insecure. And I turned on the television, and guess what was on television? Billy Graham Crusade was on television. So I turned on the Billy Graham Crusade and I began watching the Billy Graham Crusade. And on came this woman named Ethel Waters. She was an elderly, calorie-challenged black lady. And she came on television and she was a descendant of slaves. And she told a little bit about the suffering that she'd been through. And then she opened her mouth and she began to sing. "Why should I be discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home when Jesus is my portion, my constant friend is he, for his eye is on the sparrow. And she looked right in the camera and said, and chillin', I know he watches me. I tell you, I got chills up and down my spine. I got tears in my eyes. And it's like God was speaking to me through this woman. In fact, every other time I ever got to watch Ethel Waters, I did it. I love that woman. She's dead now and with the Lord, but I love that woman. She ministered to my heart, and she said to me, Lon, I watch every little bird. Every one of those things got a number in heaven, and I'm watching you. Relax. No matter who sings that song, the message is just as powerful, that there ain't no mountain high enough, and there ain't no valley low enough, and there ain't no river wide enough that Almighty God won't meet your every need if you're one of his children. And friends, if you think anything different, number one, you have a wrong view about God. Number two, worry is based on a wrong view about life. Look at verse 23 here. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothes. And skip down to verse 29. And do not set your heart on what you'll eat or what you drink, Jesus said. Don't worry about it. For the pagan world runs after all these kinds of things. Your Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom, and all these other things will be given to you as well. God will take care of them. Now, what Jesus is trying to tell us here is that life is more than just the physical. That there is a spiritual side to life as well. And that of the two of them, the physical side is really the less important side. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4 that man does not live by bread alone, but he lives by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And have you learned yet that worry takes a lot of emotional energy? That worry takes a lot of concentration. Worry takes a lot of effort. Worry takes a lot of focus. And what Jesus wants us to see here is that it's much more important to spend all of that energy and all of that concentration and all of that effort and all of that focus on the spiritual things of life, on our relationship with him, on our walk with Jesus Christ, on our obedience to the Word of God, on our personal holiness and our personal integrity, and making our lives count for eternity, that this is where our energy and our focus and our concentration ought to be, not on the physical things of life. And Jesus said, when you concentrate on the spiritual issues of life, don't worry about it. I'll take care of the physical thing. Friend, when we let the physical issues of life become uppermost in our lives, instead of concentrating our energy on our relationship with Jesus Christ, we have a wrong view of life. Third, worry is based on a wrong view of the future. God's promise to us as Christians about the future is, look at verse 28 right here, if God clothes the grass of the field which is here today and thrown in the oven tomorrow like he does, then how much more will he clothe you? And skip down to verse 31. Jesus said, seek his kingdom and all of these things will be given to you as well. What Jesus is promising us about the future is, when you need anything at all, I'll take care of it. Whatever you need, I'll take care of it. I'll be there right on schedule. I won't be ahead of schedule, but I'll be right on schedule. Maybe I'm weird, and you say you are. Well, okay, I accept that. But I'm always thinking about things in the future and thinking, I don't think I can handle that. You ever like that? I go to visit people in the hospital who have cancer and who are taking chemotherapy and they've lost all their hair. And I walk out and I go, I don't think I can handle that, God. I don't think I can handle that. I want to die in an airplane crash, but don't hook me up to chemotherapy. Don't put me in the hospital. I don't think I could deal with that. Just let me die in a plane crash. My wife gets very nervous flying with me when I say stuff like that. But I don't think I can handle something like that. I see people who've lost a wife or they've lost a child or they've gone through some horrible loss to someone in death. And I say, I don't think I can handle that. I look at people who've had financial disaster, their whole world's falling apart and say, I don't think I can handle that. Or who are having surgery or health problems. I pray with people who are going into major surgery. They're going to cut them open and pull their heart out their chest cavity and all. And I go, no way. I could not do that. I would be a basket case in the hospital. Or how about pregnancy? I don't know about you, every pregnancy we had, I worry whether or not the baby's going to be okay. I mean, am I going to have a Down syndrome baby? Is the baby going to be normal? And I find myself thinking, if we had a baby that wasn't, I don't think I can handle that. Any other people think like that? Well, you know, I've got a painting somebody gave me one time, and here's what it says. It says, the will of God will never lead you where the grace of God won't sustain you. Isn't that a great painting? The will of God will never lead you where the grace of God won't sustain you. You know the problem when we begin looking at life and begin saying, I couldn't handle that. I couldn't handle that. Oh no, I couldn't deal with that. The problem is we're looking at the future, but we're looking at the future without God's grace being there. You understand what I'm saying? Friends, you don't get dying grace until you're what? Until you're dying. Right. You don't get cancer grace until you've got cancer. You don't get go broke grace until what? You're broke. Then you get go broke grace. I'm telling you, we have a handicapped little girl now, and God has given us handicapped grace. I didn't think we'd ever be able to deal with this, but we have been. Let's summarize. What have we learned? We've learned that for Christians, worry, number one, has a wrong view of God. Worry says God's not going to take care of us, and that's not true. Number two, worry has a wrong view of life. Worry says the physical issues of life are the most important and I got to get all stressed out about making sure I've got all of them. And that's not true. Number three, worry has a wrong view of the future. Worry says that God's grace won't be there when we need it. And that's not right. And fourth and finally, worry has a wrong view of worrying. Worrying says if I worry, it'll make some positive difference in how things go. And that's not true. So if worry is based on all four wrong presuppositions, Jesus said, why do it? It's based on everything that's not true. Now, that's the end of what our passage tells us, but it leads us to ask the really important question, and you know it, don't you? What is it? So what? That's right. You know, a few years ago, we took a poll in our young marrieds class about what things they worried about. Now, that was a number of years ago. They're all old marrieds now, but they were young marrieds back then. And we said, what are some of the things you worry about? And it was a very interesting poll. I kept the answers, put it in my file because I figured one day that I would need it again. You want to hear some of the things they said they worry about? No? All right, I can make this sermon a lot shorter if I skip this now. You want? Okay, let me tell you some of the things that showed up. What are some of the things you worry about? Ready? First one, money. And they didn't mean that they were going to have too much of it. You know what I'm trying to say here? Money. Here's some others. Losing your husband or your child or some loved one in death. That was something else they worried about. Failing at work and having the boss yell at you. Getting up and speaking in front of people. A lot of people worry about that. Becoming disabled and having to be put in a nursing home. Now, why would people 25 years old be worried about something like that? I don't know. They said they were worried about having babies and having to go through labor. Hey, ladies, don't worry about that. I've been through it four times with Brenda. Piece of cake. Don't worry about it. Making bad decisions and really screwing up their life. Letting God down in their lives. Some of them worried about flying. You ever worry about flying? Are you a member of the White Knuckle Club? My wife is. Especially when she flies with me. Here's one. Bugs. That was on there. Worried about bugs. Heights. People worried about heights. The question we ask is, what do people worry about? The answer is, just about, you got it. Just about everything. Now, how are you going to beat this in your life? How are you going to beat worry in your life? Well, Jesus gives us the answer right here in this passage. You say, really? I didn't see it. What's here? Maybe you didn't catch it. Watch. It's right in verse 28. If this is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown in the fire, how much more will he clothe you, here it comes, O you of little, what? What's the solution to worry? Faith. Right. What's the solution to fear? Faith. That's right. Jesus says that worry comes from unbelief. Worry comes from unbelief. And you can be sure if you're worrying and you're fretting, you're not really believing God. And if you're really believing God and you're really trusting God, you won't be worrying and you won't be fretting. So how do we beat worry in our lives? We beat it with faith. You say, well, Lon, faith in what? Well, faith in an all-sufficient God, a God who's engaged in his creation down to the level of the sparrows, a God who's in control of his creation down to the level of the sparrows, a God who's interested in his creation down to the level of the sparrows, and a God who has promised every Christian his presence, his power, his provision, his protection, his partnership, his peace, and his providential control of every detail that comes into our life. Friends, light and darkness cannot exist in the same space at the same time. And this kind of faith in this kind of God cannot exist along with worry in the same space at the same time. They're mutually exclusive. If you're believing a God like this is running your life, you're not going to worry. And if you're worrying, then there's obviously a dip in your believing that a God like this is really running your life. And I love what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11. He said, "Come to me, all you who are labored down and heavy burdened," he said, "and I'll give you rest. You'll find peace for your soul." Now listen to what he said. He said, "For my burden is light and my yoke is easy." You know what he was saying? He was saying there's a lot of problems that come our way that are too much for your shoulders to carry. You can't carry them. But he's got big shoulders, bigger shoulders than anything you ever thought or dreamed of. He can carry them for you. So he's inviting you to come and give them to a set of shoulders who's big enough to really carry them, because yours aren't. They'll kill you. You know, my little girl has epilepsy, and I don't know what the future holds for her. She's 2 years old. And many times I allow myself to begin thinking, well, I wonder what the future holds. I wonder if she'll ever be able to go to school. I wonder if she'll ever be able to hold a job. I wonder if she'll ever be able to earn a living. I wonder if she'll ever marry. I wonder, after I'm dead, who'll take care of her. I'll tell you something. That is a guaranteed formula for spiritual disaster, what I just laid out for you. I can't deal with that burden. I'm telling you, within a matter of a few seconds, I have spiraled down so bad that I'm in bad, bad shape. And what I've got to do is take those things, and where have I got to take them, friend? Huh? Where? You tell me. To the foot of the cross. And what have I got to do? I got to nail them right in, right? I can't carry that burden. There's no way I can deal with that. It'll kill me. My shoulders aren't big enough to carry that kind of weight. I got to leave that with God. And you know what? There's a lot of things in your life that if you try to carry them on your shoulders, they'll kill you. They'll sap all the joy out of your life. They'll sap all of the vitality out of your spiritual walk. They will destroy your life. Isn't it neat that God made a way you don't have to carry them? That's what knowing Jesus Christ in a real and personal way is all about, is you've got access to the foot of the cross. The rest of the world doesn't, but you do. So use it. Use it. Take advantage of it. Take all those bowling balls and backpacks that you've got, and go take them and leave them there. Let the bottom of the cross for you look like the biggest junk pile you ever saw. With all of the junk in your life, just pile it up down there. And let God give you the peace of God that passes understanding. It'll work. It'll make you a happier person. And it'll make you a better representative for Jesus Christ as the world watches your life. Let's bow together and pray. I want to give you just a moment of silence. I suspect there's probably a lot of us here who've got all kinds of burdens and problems that we're carrying. And I suspect that maybe some of us this morning need to take them and deposit them at the foot of the cross. Nail them there. So if that's you and you need to do that, then let's give you a moment of silence and give you a chance to do it. Heavenly Father, I'm so grateful that your eye is on the sparrow. And we know, as Christians, that you're watching us. Lord, forgive us for the many, many times that we allow ourselves to be consumed with worry and fear. Forgive us for the many times we allow our life to spiral down and unravel. We lose all our joy and all our resiliency because we're worried about things we have no business worrying about. Forgive us, Lord, for the many times we let our lives be a very poor picture to the rest of the world of what a Christian ought to be because we let ourselves get caught up in fretting. I pray this morning you would remind us, dear Lord, that there's another way to live that you have for us as Christians, a better way that'll make us happier, make people around us happier, and allow you to use our life more significantly to draw people to Christ. Lord, I pray that you would teach us these little simple steps where we can convert our burdens into the peace of God in our life. Thank you that you love us so much that you made a way for us to make that transaction. And I pray, Lord, that we would not be so foolish, that we wouldn't take advantage of it each and every day. Father, I pray you change the way we live because of our being here and being in contact with you and the Word of God today. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to So What with Dr. Lon Solomon. So What is an outreach of Lon Solomon Ministries. To listen to today's message or for more information, visit our website, LonSolomonMinistries.org. Thank you for your support. If you would like to contact us, please visit our website or call us at 866-788-7770. We hope you will join us next time when Lon seeks to answer one of life's most important questions, so what?